For sure it's good to see all of you this morning. Where were you last week? You know, you always wonder when you call worship off, is it really a good thing to do? And when I came in Monday morning, the ramp was frozen and the stairs still had ice on them and the alley out there and the parking lot had ice. Had you gotten down here, you couldn't have gotten in. So I appreciate the elders' wisdom in saying we need to stay home. And I was asked if Mary Eleanor got to hear the sermon last week, and I said no, because it's a very dangerous thing to do, to preach to one person. Not that she's sinful in any ways or a lot of ways. It's just not good to do that. But today we're going to start a study on follow me. Jesus said when he called his disciples, follow me. What does it mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, follow me? And this is what we're going to look at this morning. The meaning of the word follow from Scripture. So we'll read Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17, and then we'll proceed from that. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17, this will be our Scripture passage to begin with this morning. Let's pray before we study. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for this day and this opportunity to gather here as your children to worship you, the true and living God. Thank you for your presence here by your Holy Spirit and how we've been worshiping you in spirit and in truth and lifting up your holy and majestic name in praise and prayer and thanksgiving. And now, Father, we come to study your word. I pray you'll keep the evil one from us. You'll help us to focus on your word and that you'll instruct us by your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding of your lesson for us and what it means to each of us personally. And then empower us by your Holy Spirit to walk in obedience. Father, I pray that your children will be spiritually refreshed and renewed. And oh, how we pray for those who do not know Jesus as Savior. Anyone here, Lord, would you call them to yourself that they may be freed from the bondage of sin and death? For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 4, 12 through 17. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. You may be seated. Then we're going to come back to this passage, particularly verse 17, to study in just a moment. But before we do, I'd like for us to look at two other verses of Scripture where Jesus, in calling his disciples, said, follow me. Now, the first one we're going to look at is in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 19. Look at 4:19. Where Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, we always look at I will make you fishers of men. And he did. But what does it mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, follow me? Now, the word here in the original language, follow is there. But there's another word that in some translations is not translated. And that's the word come. Jesus didn't say, follow me. He said, come, follow me. Now, what's the significance of the word come? In this word, come means come now. You ever have your, usually it's the mother. It's not anything bad against you ladies and mothers. But, you know, I heard my mother say to me many, many times, come now. Because I would say, I'll be there in a minute. No, you come now. There's an urgency about the call of Jesus in our lives. And when Jesus says come, he's saying come now. Don't be piddling around. You come to me right now. And that's a command. It means do it and do it now. And so literally you would read, come, follow me. Now let's look at the word follow in this verse, because it's a very interesting word. The word follow means, first of all, to have a desire to follow. So when we see Jesus say, follow me, he's speaking to the desire of the heart. Now let's ask ourselves, what is the desire in my heart to follow Jesus? Now be honest with yourself. What's the degree of intent in our heart personally to follow Jesus? And you know, as Christian folks will say, oh yeah, I want to follow him. Oh yeah? How do you do Sunday afternoon through Saturday night in following Jesus? How is that desire in our hearts to follow Jesus 24/7? Doesn't matter who we're around, what we're involved in doing, am I following Jesus? If I have a desire in this situation, dealing with this person or these people, that I'm going to follow Jesus first and foremost and not try to be conformed to whatever they're trying to conform me to. Now, that's one meaning of this word, follow. The other meaning of this word, follow, means to have a close relationship. A close relationship. Now, what does that mean? When Rich and Jim were at Auburn, we'd go to football games, along with 79,000 other people in that stadium. And I remember going to a game in Georgia, beautiful stadium over there, but when we left, we were literally shoulder to shoulder, and you went where that crowd went. And I'll never forget, Mary Eleanor was behind me, and Jim was behind her, and we were walking out like this, and Mary Eleanor leans up and said, there's a fight broken out behind me. And I said, well, we're not going to run. How far is it? About 8 or 10 ranks behind me. Well, let me know when it gets closer. I'm not moving. Well, it calmed down. But you know, as close as we were to everybody, I had no personal relationship with anybody but Mary Eleanor and Jim. We follow a lot of people in lines and in traffic. We work with a lot of people. But what about the relationship? When Jesus said, follow me, he said, I want to have a close relationship with you. I don't want an acquaintance. I don't want you to know about me. I want you to know me. I want you to know me as deeply and as closely as you possibly can. Because I know you better than you know yourself. I want you to know me that personally. I want you to be that close to me. Brothers and sisters, we have just sung a great hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And Jesus, being God and being perfectly holy, wants that close relationship with me and you who are men and women of unclean lips. Yes. Yes, he wants that. And he's provided a way by the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ, that we may have it. So when Jesus said, follow me, He says, I want you close to me. And I want the desire of your heart to be for me and to have that relationship. Now that's the word follow in this verse. Now there's another verse that we need to look at. That's Matthew chapter 9. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. Jesus is walking by and he's going to see Matthew sitting at his tax booth. And Jesus says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. You have a completely different word in the Greek here than we had before back in chapter 4. It's a completely different word with a completely different meaning. So let's look at this word, follow. This word, follow, means self-commitment. It means I am committing myself to follow Jesus. I'm not going to follow any other religion, anybody else. First and foremost, I am going to follow Jesus. Commitment is a rare commodity in our time. We're more committed to self and what we want to do as opposed to being committed to Christ and what He wants us, now listen carefully, what He wants us to be. Have I made that kind of commitment to Christ? Nobody else. A commitment to be like Christ. Another part of this word, follow, part of this word, follow, has the Greek verb akouo in it, which means to listen and to obey. And so when we make a commitment to Christ, when He says, follow me, and we make that commitment, we're making a commitment to listen to Him and then to obey Him. Once again, parents say, do you hear me? Audibly, I do. I ain't paying attention to you. This means to pay attention, to listen with perception, and then to obey. And it's not based on whether I like it or not. It's based on my love for the Lord, His love for me. I know He loves me. He's always provided, protected. He's always done His best for me. And I know it's the best for me. Even with those who have cancer. We have heart disease, kidney disease. We live in a world that's cursed by God because of Adam and Eve. And Christians have these diseases. But in those diseases that we have Christ. As Hunter prayed, to walk with us through those times that are very difficult and very trying. And there are times when we say, God, why me? And then we need to know that Christ loves us. And Christ has a personal relationship with each of His children. And He wants the very best for us. And sometimes the very best is for God to work in us in ways that cause us to listen more to Him and to be obedient. And they're hard lessons. They're hard to walk through. But we're not alone. When we follow Jesus, when we come to Him immediately, we're committed to Him, we listen to Him, and we obey Him. Now that's what it means when Jesus said, that's what Jesus meant by the words He used when He said, follow me. And when Jesus called you and me to be His child, His children, that's the same thing He means for us today when He says, you follow me. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. And I want us to look at verse 17, Matthew 4:17. And notice it says here in the 17th verse, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying. Let's look at the infinitive to preach. It means to proclaim publicly. To proclaim publicly, to make a public announcement. And in that public announcement, there's a bit of formality. When Jesus came preaching, He didn't come in a nonchalant way. He didn't come in a way that, y'all just listen to this, take it or leave it. No, He was very formal. He was very purposeful when He came with His message. And also with this word to preach, there's authority behind it. There is an authority behind it. Jesus said, do it. And He had authority to say that because He's God. So there's authority behind that. Then you have to preach, saying. The verb to say there makes that phrase preach emphatic. It's strong. It is strong. With the disrespect of authority in our society that we're seeing more and more, disrespect for the family, the leaders in the family, the husbands, disrespect for pastors that I see more and more and more. The lack of authority and respect is just gradually dissipating. And it's the position. It's the position, not the person. But in this case, it is God. Jesus, God, who's saying, He's come with His message. And it's a message of hope. And it's a message of encouragement. And He wants us to hear it. And He wants us to understand it. And He wants us to follow Him. Now, let's go on. Look what He says. How do I follow Jesus? That's the next thing. How do I follow Jesus? Well, look what He said in this first recorded sermon that we have in Matthew. Look what He says. Repent. Repent. What does the word repent mean? All right, there are three connotations here that we need to look at. First of all, there is a sincere sorrow for sin. A sincere sorrow in our hearts for the sin which so easily entangles us. Do you and I have that kind of sorrow in our heart when we sin? That's not a big deal. That's not a bad sin. I ain't handling this. Get over it. Are you and I, as believers in Christ, genuinely broken due to the sin in our life? It's real. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And Paul is writing the second letter to the church at Corinth. And, that church had a lot of sin in it. Oh, it was messed up badly. And look what he says in verse 10. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. You see, godly grief, when God shows us our sin and He says, you sin against me, you have offended me. That type of grief causes us to have sorrow that I have sinned against my Heavenly Father. I have sinned against my Savior, Jesus Christ. I have sinned against the Spirit of God living in me that gives me His wisdom and mercy and grace and knowledge. The God who loves me so much, He sent His Son to die for my sin and to raise Him from the dead. That's given me all these great promises that I'm experiencing right now. That's the one I have offended. And that godly sorrow brings us to repentance. Notice the sorrow of the world leads to death. We're just sorry we got caught. We're just sorry I made myself look badly. I'm not sorry enough to stop it. So the first step in repentance is being genuinely sorry and grieved about the sin in our lives. The next thing this word repentance means is seeking God's forgiveness. You know, when a believer is convicted of sin and truly sorry for it, the next thing is, oh, Lord, please forgive me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But look at the first phrase, if we confess. The word confess means to acknowledge and to admit I'm guilty. And this is where you and I in our praying need to say, if we're going to follow Jesus, I'm guilty. I'm an angry person. I'm a greedy person. I'm a gossip. I slander. I lust. I judge. I condemn. I steal. I lie. I cheat. Whatever sin it is, whatever sin you and I are guilty of, you personally and I personally have to say, you got me. That's who I am. And then comes the sorrow and the grief and the crying out for forgiveness. So I have to admit it. But you know, the good news is we don't have to admit it to anybody else. You don't ever hear churches having a worship service of confession, do you? There wouldn't be anybody attending, and I don't blame them. But we need to have a confession with our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father. And another interesting thing about this word confess, get a little technical here, please forgive me, it's a subjunctive mood, which means it's conditional, which means I may confess and I might not. I might not confess that this is my sin. I might just go right on. And another thing about this verb, confess, it's in the present tense, which means I continually confess. It means I've got to be confessing whatever sin I'm guilty of on a regular basis. That's why it's a good thing of a morning we begin with prayer. In the middle of the day, we pray. And of evening, we need to pray. That evening prayer might take a little longer if we're going to genuinely be a follower of Christ, because we're going to take inventory of whatever sin we might be guilty of. And the Holy Spirit does that for us. But if we're going to follow Christ in the way that He says, follow me, we got to admit the sin and we have to confess to God. And look at the rest of that verse, though. Oh, if we confess our sin, He is faithful. He is faithful. And He is just, which means He's not going to say, I'm not going to forgive you even though you've confessed it. He's faithful and just to do what? To forgive us, to release us from that sin, and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're talking peace here. You're talking joy. You're talking about that close relationship getting closer and stronger. So repentance. Repentance means a sorrow. And then it means a confession. A seeking God's forgiveness. And then the third part of repentance is change my mind. Change my mind. Have y'all ever done anything that was really bad? And you say, I'm not going to do that again. Normally it's a food we've eaten. You know, we eat some dish and it didn't taste good and it didn't go well down. And I'm stopping at that point. I'm not going to do that again. Or have you ever said something that was offensive and up to this point you thought that it wasn't offensive and all of a sudden you said it one time too many and you saw the hurt in the person's face and you didn't mean to hurt, but you said it and it was offensive and you thought, I'm not saying that again. I'm not using that word. I'm not using that phrase anymore. That's a turning and that's a change of mind. You see, the grief over the sin, the seeking of forgiveness, we are forgiven, and then there's the changing of the mind. I'm not going to do that again. And then when that desire to come back on us, and it will, to do it again, the Holy Spirit said, remember what happened the last time you said that? Remember what happened the last time you did that? And then it's on our shoulders. No, I'm not going there. To really follow Jesus in the way that Jesus said, follow me, that's what we need to do. Repent. And then look, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. Let's look at the word kingdom. In the word kingdom, we think of a king and a rule. We don't have kings. We have presidents and vice presidents and Congress, and you know our form of government. But we give them that authority over us to rule us. And we've just changed our government, haven't we? We don't change God. You don't vote God out. You don't ignore Him. He is sovereign over all of life. And Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And He is our sovereign ruler. And if we follow Him, we follow the true and living God who has all authority in heaven and earth. He says the kingdom of heaven. The prepositional phrase of heaven there means divine origin. This is from God Himself. This is just not a denomination's idea of theology. This is God's Word coming to His children. This is how you follow me. This is what it means to follow me. I never will forget when we were leaving the PCUS and I was meeting with a committee that was determining my fate, they thought. And I remember the question said, this denomination is your mother church. Are you going to leave your mother? Shouldn't have asked me that question. Because I said, if my mother forsakes the Word of God and turns her back on it and refuses to be instructed, I will leave my mother. They ended the meeting with prayer and dismissed me for another meeting. That's why, brothers and sisters, you don't commit to a denomination. You commit to Christ. You follow Christ. Denominations go liberal. They go down the pike. They stayed solid for a season. But it just burdens my heart when people are so committed to a church or to a denomination and they go south biblically, but they are committed and they'll stay there. Even error is being taught. Don't do that. Jesus said, follow me. We must follow Christ and Him alone. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The phrase at hand means present, and it is. The kingdom of heaven is present. Where is it? It's not in a nation. It's not in a state. It's in the heart. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, the Pharisees were asking, well, when will the kingdom of heaven come? And when will we know it's here? And Jesus said, you're not going to be able to observe the kingdom of heaven because the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's in our hearts. It's God's holy and righteous rule in our hearts. That's where the kingdom of heaven is. You and I are in that kingdom now. And you know what? There's not only a present kingdom of heaven, but there's a future. A future. Oh, we're told in Revelation 19 that Jesus Christ is going to return. And He's going to be on a white stallion. And He's going to have a robe on. He's one thigh, King of Kings, and the other one, Lord of Lords. And He's going to come back and end all this. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm done. How about you? How about you? I'm done. I'm ready. That's what it means to follow Jesus. To be serious about our relationship with Him. To have that close, intimate relationship with Him. And now we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And you hold that bread. And you think about the body of Christ. His love for you. And His love was so strong for you that He took our sin upon His body and suffered the wrath of God and the condemnation that we should have taken. We won't take it. Follow me. And that blood that was shed that washes away our sin, that we would have life. And Jesus says, follow me. Brothers and sisters, that's what it means to follow Jesus. To have that commitment all the time. To have that intimate relationship all the time. And when we sin, we confess. And He's faithful and just to forgive. That's the Jesus you and I follow. That's the Jesus that wants us to follow Him. And I just encourage you to meditate on this afternoon. And I thank the Lord for your faith and your following Him. Let's make it stronger. Let's make it stronger as we follow Jesus and in the weeks ahead when we continue to study what it means to follow Jesus. Let's decide right now. That's what we're going to do. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not a follower of Him. And you begin by confessing your sin and repenting and ask Jesus to forgive you and be the Savior and Lord of your life. As the Holy Spirit has spoken, you respond. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we love You and thank You for this time to worship You and for the opportunity before us now to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Oh, I pray, Father, that You will impart Your grace to us, that we would have a more intimate relationship and we would follow You in heart and mind and soul. You've spoken to us. Now may we walk in obedience in Jesus' name. Amen.